This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca. Sharon Stearns, artistic producer of the Wishbone Theatre Company, based in the Robson Valley and also working throughout northern BC, alongside Seth McDonald of Dream Heavy, an alt-metal ensemble based in Dunster, BC, join us over the line today. These two represent a team of passionate creatives that have joined forces to create something dark, a little twisted, and wholly unique in northern BC's live performance landscape. And it's coming to Prince George, Kailitane, April 24th, for one night only. That is a dystopian rock musical, The Morning After. Seth, Sharon, thank you so much for joining me this morning. The show, The Morning After, is touring for a little while before hitting Prince George. Is that right?
We're going to play four shows in the Robson Valley. We're playing in Vailmont April 10th and 11th, McBride on April 17th and 18th. We're also booked to tour it to the Pavilion Theater in Kamloops in September, as well as Quesnel in September.
So by the time you hit Prince George, you're going to be tour tight. And
we hope so.
So these things don't happen overnight. A musical performance especially is just, you know, a little more intense than your typical theater production. How long have y'all been working on this collaborative effort? Sharon, were you the one who planted the seed initially? Was this your brainchild?
No, it wasn't. Seth and I have worked together on a few of Wishbone Theater's original creations in the past as both a performer and as a musician. And I've always really respected his musicianship, but also his passion for justice and how he inserts that into his musical artistic sensibilities. So I've always been really interested. So there's lots of conversations that have gone on between Seth and I. Seth always wanted to do a rock opera.
Yep.
And out of those conversations, we collaborated to create Morning After. It's been about a year, would you say?
Yeah, about that. I think right when we were closing up Limelight last year, we started having these conversations on the last couple of shows. You know, after the shows, what are we doing next? And then Sharon encouraged me to come up with a synopsis about what my rock opera would be about, and what the, you know, which songs I might use and how those lyrics would play in. So, and there was a funding grant writing deadline, so I had to come up with something pretty quick. So I wrote something really messy, and then Sharon has been refining the storyline, and I will say altering it somewhat, but for the better, and it's become the show it is today.
So this tale will be told through dance, through music, through dialogue, and it presents a parallel world to our own, where drought profiteers have corralled dwindling water resources, people are disappearing under totalitarian government purges, and things sound generally miserable. It's a dystopian setting.
Putting it mildly, yes.
However, yep. It sounds as though humor is an aspect of this production as well. And how and why were you able to include a laugh or two amidst this dreadful scenario of The Morning After?
You can answer that, Sharon.
The purpose of theater for me as a playwright has always been to entertain an audience and to promote and inspire community engagement and social discourse. And the theme of this show is certainly topical, to speak to the divisiveness and the uncertainties that are going on in our world right now. But it also gives an opportunity for theater to pull it out of the reality and put it into a different world. And that world, we can afford to send up some of our characters and make them funny, hopefully darkly funny in some situations, but also, I think that's a tool that theater is allowed to do. We're allowed to do that. Take things out of the reality and put it into a context which is more palatable for our audiences.
Oh, I mean, sometimes, I mean, really, totalitarian behavior is, on the surface, sometimes just absolutely buffoonery. I mean, you don't have to look far these days to watch one individual just making a complete ass out of himself every time he opens his mouth. So sometimes you just have to laugh, right?
And the intent of this musical really, Ian, is not to add to any collective outrage. It's really our feelings of powerlessness over what's going on. It's more to create a story about possibilities and also navigating the space between who and where we are now and where we might want to imagine ourselves in the future. So theater making gives us that opportunity. And also, you know, the music of Dream Heavy and Seth's lyrics, they're so grounded in marginalized people and groups within our society. And they do all, a lot of their music broadcast messages of social justice and advocate for those sorts of things. So it's kind of a nice blend in some ways. Yeah. You say, Seth?
I would say that is apt description, Sharon. Yeah, absolutely.
Personally, I haven't been able to see a Wishbone Theater production yet, but I can imagine the theatrical element that is involved with Dream Heavy performance would lend itself quite easily to dramatic theatrical production. So to me, this seems like a very natural collaboration. However, that's not to say that it would necessarily be easy. On that collaborative aspect, Sharon, you're involved with a strong background in dance. Is that right?
No, actually, I wanted to mention that I've always liked physical performance in all of my productions. And so, but I'm not a choreographer, and I only studied dance through my university and early career as an actor. So we were very fortunate to hire Jesse Herman from Quesnel with the Gulpan City Dance School to come with two of her dancers.
Otherwise known as Sarsaparilla Fox.
And I've just been thrilled with her contribution to this. So it feels to me like there's three stories in this going on. There's the script, the text, the characters, their journey and arc through the play. There's the musical journey, which tells the story through music. And then there's the story that is being told through dance. And that's the really exciting thing for me about this show, is how all of those three aspects can come together to create something much bigger than the sum of its parts.
My goodness, there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen. Could you?
There is.
Can you fill us in on the adventure of combining each other's passions and how are you able to, I guess, allow each other the creative freedom, but also the functional discipline to present something that captured all your talents?
Go for that, Seth.
Okay. So I'm not saying it's not without compromise, because it definitely is. Like, for example, I mean, you're familiar with our music, Ian, and it tends to be very prog rockish. There's often up to a 3-minute intro before anyone says a word. So there has definitely been some compromise on my part to adapt some of these songs so that they sit better with Sharon's story and continue to tell the story without distracting, right? So it's taken me a bit to swallow my pride and go, okay, I can cut that whole intro out or move this over here. And so, yeah, these are rearrangements of some of these tunes. A couple of them will be most of the tune, but a lot of them are rearranged to fit more in a theater setting. And then, yeah, you have those three elements. So I've always had a fantasy of having dancers. And Jesse, our choreographer, is married to our drummer, David. So, you know, it's this whole circle that we've been trying to put together for a long time. It never really worked. Like, I've been in awe of her as a burlesque dancer since, you know, I've known her, and always been bugging her to do something for this. So way back when Mama Groove was still together, she did choreograph one number with her and another dancer and got my wife in on it on one of our performances. So ever since then, I'm like, okay, I want dancers with the music. And this just seemed like the perfect opportunity to tell that story, right? And yeah, I'm thrilled that she's thrilled and part of it. And Jessie is very, very experienced choreographer and dancer. And she's able to work with, like, our dancers don't have a lot of prior experience, or at least a couple of them don't. But what she's managed to pull out of these people is just phenomenal.
To what Seth said about most of the time I work as a director as well as a playwright on my shows. But to me, the collaborative process is utterly the priority. And there's always a fine line between leadership and collaboration. It's a kind of a dance that you have to follow that line by keeping priorities, which are the biggest priority is having a vision of what the whole show is going to look like. And then how to keep the balance of everybody's personal artistic integrity alive through that process. I say that in this show, sometimes it's a little bit more crunchy, but I say for this show, I found it to be really exciting working with everybody collaboratively, welcoming ideas and people, you know, when you're working on a collaborative process in performance, you have to be willing to say, this is my idea, have the courage to say, this is my idea, fight for it. And if it doesn't happen, if it gets squashed, then be willing to take that on as well, right?
Yeah, and move on.
And because the big picture is the show. I'd say, I don't know, Seth, for me anyway, I feel that this particular show has been so exciting that that big picture's been the priority for all of us throughout it all.
Yeah, I would say the same. I'd say all of us, actors, musicians, directors, choreographers, we all have a specific interpretation of what we imagine. And then, you know, collectively, Sharon is the glue, right? I mean, she is a very experienced director. So we will defer to her. And thankfully, I mean, I would say, having worked with Sharon for 20 years, that, you know, everybody ages better together if they collaborate more. And she's open to our input and ideas and whatnot, unless it, you know, there's certain things that people can't compromise on, right? And, you know, if it's going to impact the story in a negative way, or if, for example, I'm being asked to edit a song where I just am gutting the whole thing to not say what it was meant to say, then, you know, then we might have an issue temporarily. But generally, we've worked really well together, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
The collaboration is definitely a big challenge to address in any production. But another factor in this is also geographic distance. Like, you're not exactly geographically convenient neighbors. Like, sure,
no.
In the scale of Northern BC, sure. But I mean, how were you able to get over that barrier in order to just be together enough to make this dream come true? Or what technological aids did you have along the way there?
Fortunately, I have some honoraria funding to have accommodation and travel paid for my Quinnell dancers and for Jesse. And I think that it's a bit scary for sure, because we've had to be really careful with the scheduling to make sure that every time we have everybody together, the band, the actors and the dancers, we work really hard to fill that time until we're exhausted. And yeah. There's also the community aspect to this too. Everybody's contributing food to feed us. Mm-hmm. Seth and Shara are contributing their home for putting people up, and we're working on carpooling and all those sort of logistics and making sure it's as easy as possible. But I would say it's definitely a challenge.
Yeah, it's really a challenge, considering we've only gotten together twice. I think you mentioned that, like, for 2 days apiece. And then I spent some time with the band, you know, so that the dancers have to be able to, like, we can't be in a position like we normally would be playing live, where we jam something out or play something a little differently or at a different speed or a different tempo. We can't do that with dancers. You know, if this many eight counts, it's got to be that many eight counts. So we got together as a band and did a long session where we recorded everything how we imagined it was going to be for the show, including the pauses, because some of these pieces have breaks in the middle of the piece where I have to go and act, or, you know,
yeah.
And then jump back in. And then there's choreography to that, right? So that has been, yeah, more challenging than anything I've ever attempted. Mm-hmm. But it seems to be gelling. Like, the last time, I mean, it has to. We're on the stage in less than a few days here, so.
The show must go on.
So
this is going to be an active stage. Doesn't sound like a dull moment is to be had.
No.
Audiences in Vail Mount, McBride, and Prince George can all catch this show. You're performing right away, April 10th and 11th in Vail Mount, April 17th and 18th in McBride, and then the 24th of April here in Prince George Kailitane at the Playhouse. That's $25 in advance, $30 at the door. Tickets available on Eventbrite. Search The Morning After, as morning as in the act of grieving. Search that on Eventbrite.
You can go on the Prince George Playhouse event page and order your tickets through Eventbrite on there as well. And politically, this is a show about hope and resilience. And this is a show about our human need for power and conquest colliding with our human need for love and justice and community. And that's the eternal struggle that we all face.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but it seems to me like between, you know, the ensemble involved in this production, that community is something you've all been able to find through the creation of this play. Is that an accurate assessment?
I would say it is.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure.
You've overcome distances and creative differences and, you know, come against the struggle of a deadline and are making it happen. 4 days from now, it hits the stage for real. Fantastic.
That's right.
The audience in Vail Mount, I'm sure, can't wait. We can't wait to have you here in Prince George Kailitane. I'm very excited.
Great. Great. Thank you, Ian.
Thanks, Ian.
Absolutely.
Excited to be there.
Thanks so much for your time this morning. This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca.